I want to encourage you this morning that no matter what might be going on in your life, or no matter what is going on in this world, we serve the God of hope. We can always have hope because our hope is in the Lord. Romans 15 and 13, it says, may the God of hope, there it is, he is the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. We can overflow with hope. I want you to know that that's something that's needed in this crazy world. There's a lot of discouragement. There's a lot of people that are just consumed with all of the negative things of life, and they're disillusioned. You know, we're taught in this world not to get our hopes up. Don't get your hopes up. Anybody ever heard that before? Some of you live under a rock, you've never heard it, but most of us, we've heard some point. In fact, most of us have heard it many times. And maybe they're just talking about a particular situation. I don't know, but I've certainly heard it a lot of times in my life. Well, don't get your hopes up. Well, you know what? You shouldn't get your hopes up if you're counting on man. You shouldn't get your hopes up if you're counting on things. But when you're counting on the God of hope, you need to get your hopes up. You need to know that God always comes through. He is faithful God, and he does what he says that he will do. See, the message of the world, it's a message of despair. I mean, they live by Murphy's Law. If anything can go wrong, well, it's going to go wrong. Wow. That just takes all the sail out of your wing. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we've all been there, whether it's our job, our family, our finances, in ministry, a relationship, even ourselves. We've all had disappointments. We've all had things that didn't go the way that we had hoped that they would. And the Bible says this, Proverbs 13, 12, hope deferred makes the heart sick. You see, when our hopes are lost, it hurts us deep down inside. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Now, we need to understand how serious this is, because it is out of your heart. Proverbs 4:23 says that flow the issues of life. Jesus said that the things that come out of our mouth and the actions of our life, it all originates from our heart. So if your heart is sick, you're messed up. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. We need to get back to the place where our hopes are in God and God alone. Now, as I said, we've all had some, you know, rough roads. We've all had some hurt. We've all had some things that knocked the wind out of us. But we need to hope in God this morning, and then we can always have hope. Here's what the Bible says about that. Isaiah 49, 23, those who hope in me will not be disappointed. Other people will disappoint you. Situations and circumstances may disappoint you. They just go wrong sometimes. But even then, you need to know that God is faithful. Now, if you've been a Christian for very long, you've had the opportunity to feel like God has let you down. You notice I said feel like God has let you down. Because God has never let anybody down. He is faithful God. And it may look like it, and it may even feel like it, but God has never let you down. He says very plainly, those who hope in me will not be disappointed. So you can't go by how it looks. You can't go by how you feel. No, you got to keep your hope in God, and you'll never be disappointed. You know, the amazing thing is that even when situations and circumstances don't go the way that we had hoped, somehow God keeps moving and working, even in the worst of times and the worst of situations. He always makes a way. Now, my experience has been that a lot of the time, in fact, most of the time, it's not my way. He doesn't do things the way that I thought he would. Sometimes not in the time frame that I thought he should. But God always makes a way. He's the way maker. That's why you can hope in the Lord. You see, we need to remember that God knows everything. He knows what he's doing. And we just see the right here and the right now. And when we're just looking at the right here and the right now, and we're all disillusioned and upset and disappointed, we need to remember that our God sees what's down the road. The book of James says, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. People boast and say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And James says, you don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. Right. None of us knows, but he does. The one who knows everything. He's the one that we trust. The one that can do anything. He's the one that we trust. And I just want you to think about this. You know, we get all upset and been out of shape about things. Did you know that God has never been worried? There's never been a time when he was like, oh, what am I going to do? There's never been a time when God said, oops, I didn't know that was going to happen. He knew. He always knows. That's why our hope can be in him. Because the God who sees the beginning and the end, he is always at work. He's always moving. He's always working. And with men, you see, it can be impossible. But with God, Jesus said, all things are possible with God. And we need to remember this, that he loves us. He wants the best for us. And he's a good God. So somehow, he always works it together for our good, the Bible says. So we can always hope in God. In Ephesians 1:18, it says, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. We need our spiritual eyes opened to see the hope that he's called us to. I'll tell you, God has such wonderful plans for us in our future. Now, it's not all in this life, amen? But I just want you to know, he has awesome things planned for his people, and we need our eyes open to know the hope he's called us to. We're more than conquerors through him who loved us, and no matter what we face, whatever we're going through, we need to have this hope, an assurance in our soul that God's going to bring us through. Amen. As long as we have the Lord, the Almighty, the one that knows the beginning and the end, the one that calls those things that be not as though they were, we always have hope. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12, it tells us that unbelievers are without hope and without God in the world. How sad to have no hope and have no God in your life. But when people don't have God, they have no hope. Whatever the situation is, I mean, tragedy comes and their world crumbles. They're at the end of the rope. And here's the thing, without God, without hope, well, that's just as good as it gets. I'm so glad that we can always hope in God and that he is with us all the time, that he's working in our lives. But I tell you, too many believers have fallen into that worldly mindset, not really believing God for miracles, not really expecting things to change in their life. And here's the thing, when people lose hope, they start to not care. You know, one of the major reasons that people commit suicide is because they lose hope. They lost hope that their life can get better. No hope that anything good will come of their life, that their dreams will come true. No hope of real love or real happiness or joy in their life. But I will remind you, there are no hopeless situations with God. In Psalm 146, verse 5 and 6, it says, blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, the Lord who remains faithful forever. It tells us we're blessed if we hope in the Lord. I wonder if the reverse is true. If we don't hope in the Lord, where does that leave us? But we hope in the God who made heaven and earth and everything in it. And I'll tell you, that tells us something, that he has the power to change things. And then it tells us he remains faithful forever. Now, we need to get a right perspective and understanding of hope. Now, it's one of those Bible words that I think it just has been cheapened. You know, we all understand that the word love is cheapened. I mean, when we use the word love all kinds of ways, it certainly don't line up with the Bible. I mean, people say, I love pizza, and I love Jesus, and I love the Cowboys, and I love my wife, and I love coffee. How cheap is that? That doesn't mean anything when you just throw it around like that. It's weird how we use the word love. But you see, in some ways, I think we even do worse with the word hope. The biblical word hope doesn't mean I wish. I wish it wouldn't rain today. Or we can just say, I hope it doesn't rain today. I hope the Cowboys will manage to win a playoff game this year. I'm not going to comment on that, except to say that's not the way you use the word hope. Because hope doesn't mean, wouldn't it be nice? I wish. Wouldn't it be nice? No, hope. The biblical word hope means it's a firm conviction. It's a confidence. It's an anticipation and an expectation of an expected end that God is going to do what he said he would do. And our confidence is always in him, no matter what it looks like. Amen. What are you looking forward to? What are you hoping for? Hope is one of the three eternal virtues mentioned in 1 Corinthians 13:13. I tell you, there are a lot of things in this world that are not going to make it into eternity. But it tells us this, and now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. I've heard a lot of messages about love. I preached a lot of messages about love. If you came last Wednesday night, you heard a message about loving God. And if you come this Wednesday night, you're going to hear a message about loving others. And that's a good thing. We need to preach about love a lot. Jesus talked about it an awful lot. I've also heard a lot of messages about faith. I preached a lot of messages about faith. I'm a faith preacher. Jesus was a faith preacher. He talked about faith all the time. He said things like, be it unto you according to your faith. Your faith has made you well. Jesus used the word faith over and over and over. See, there's a lot of doubt preachers today. Doubt is cheap and easy. Anybody can preach doubt. The world preaches doubt. We need to preach faith. But get this, when it comes to hope, we hardly ever talk about it. We don't consider the fact that it is an eternal virtue, and it is so important to our walk with God and to the life of faith. Hope is the soil that your faith grows out of. Hebrews 11:1 in the NIV, it says it this way: faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. In the King James, it's faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See, if we're going to see God move and work in our situation and our family, our finances, our health, our church, we got to have hope that God's going to do something. Now, you know, here's the thing. When God gives you a word, faith comes. And that means you have it. You have it before you even see it. Faith is the substance. It's the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. When you have faith, you got evidence of something you can't see. But where is the basis of that faith? It has to start with this hope. Before you, God even said, hey, I'm going to do this, you had hope that deep down inside, God's going to make a way. He's going to work it out. We don't ever, ever give up. We don't ever allow discouragement to take over because we always hope in God. You see, a lot of believers, they have little faith because if you listen to them talk, I mean, they don't even have hope. They're pessimistic. They talk negative all the time. See, if we have hope, we got to stop talking negative. We got to stop thinking that way. Because we know that our God is mighty God and He can do anything. See, for the world, well, you know, things just get worse. But not for the righteous. Now listen, the scripture says this about the righteous. Proverbs 4:18 and 19, the path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. If we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then we have been made righteous. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And our path is supposed to get brighter and brighter until the full day. You know, when it says the full day, I think it's talking about that in eternity, the full day. Yeah, it's just supposed to get brighter and brighter until we're finally in the fullness of God's presence. As there's no need for any light there. God Himself is the light. Brighter and brighter. Now, I know that we all have some dark days. I know. I've been there. We all go through some difficult times, but we need to keep this before us, that God has a plan for us, and we can always hope in Him no matter what, even in the most difficult times of life. And it's so important that we do, because it is our hope that will get us through. Hope is an anchor to the soul. Hebrews 6:19 says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. You see, your soul, I don't want to take things for granted this morning, that everybody knows this. So your soul and your spirit are not the same thing. Your spirit is that part of you that is born again, born of God. Your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. And the hope that we have in God is an anchor for your soul, an anchor. Yes, if you're in a ship out on the sea and there's a storm and it tosses you back and forth and drives you somewhere you don't want to go, you need an anchor. Hope is that anchor for our soul. See, a lot of people, their mind, they get in a storm and their mind is just going here and there. And what if this and what if that? And their feelings, their emotions are all over the place like a roller coaster. And it ends up affecting their will, the decisions that they make. They end up somewhere they didn't want to go. But hope, as long as we have hope, you see, no matter what the storm is, no matter what's going on the outside, we got an anchor that keeps us steady. We're not going to think that way. We're thinking on God. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. See, we're not going to allow those emotions to drag us away, get carried away with emotion. But we're keeping our heart fixed on the Lord. We're not allowing that. And we're not going to make foolish, stupid decisions in the middle of a storm because we're hoping in God. Amen. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Not going to let go. Going to keep holding onto that hope, because it'll keep you going. If you lose hope, you give up. I've told you before, Carmen and I were youth pastors for a lot of years, and even as a senior pastor, we've done some ski trips. But over the years, we probably taught a couple of hundred teenagers to ski. I mean, it's not like we're masters or anything, but we knew the basics, and we were able to help them learn to, you know, do enough to where they could enjoy skiing. But out of all of those young people, there were probably two, maybe three, that we could never teach. And it's really pretty simple. It wasn't because of a physical thing that they couldn't do it. It was just as simple as this. Some of them were convinced they couldn't do it. They had no hope of learning to do it. They had decided before they even tried. And even if they tried a little bit, at some point, they just said, I can't do it, and they gave up. And here's what I want to say to you. See, when you have hope that you can do something, you keep going. But when you decide, I mean, when you give up hope, it's never going to happen, you quit trying. And I want to tell you that can have an impact on so many different areas of our life. We got to keep hoping. Hope will get you through the dark times. A man named Charles Dutton, who became a Broadway star, and people were really surprised to find out that he had been convicted of manslaughter and spent time in prison. And here he has become this successful star, and people wanted to know. They asked him, well, how did this happen in your life that, you know, here you are, you were a convict in prison, and now look at you now. And he said, well, the difference between me and the other prisoners was I never decorated my cell. He didn't make a home out of it. That wasn't where he was going to stay. But I want you to understand that there are a lot of Christians that are in a situation and they've just decorated their cell. They just kind of decided, well, I'll just make the best of it the way it is because this is all there is. You lost hope. You need to get your hope back and know that God has a future for you, that He has some things planned for you. Yeah, we go through the valley of the shadow of death, but we're supposed to go through. Without hope, we just give up. And we just say, well, that's all there is. So what are you looking forward to? People settle for less. They settle for less than God's best when they lose hope. Some of you, some young people down here and some of you back there too, you hope you get married someday. You hope you get married to the right one, to the love of your life. Don't settle. You don't eat a bologna sandwich when in 1 hour you're going to go to Longhorn Steakhouse. Right? But this is exactly what a lot of people do because they don't have hope of what God is going to do, of the good things that God's going to bring in their life. They settle for something far less. Don't lose your hope. Amen. Hope is the beginning place for seeing the plan of God come to pass in your life. And when we don't have that hope, we just kind of get where we don't care. As a town that had been condemned, basically, they were going to flood this town and make a new lake. And this little town that was there was all just going to be underwater. It was all going to be wiped out. And so when the people, you know, understood that this was all going to happen, naturally, you know what they did. They just let their homes go. Nobody mowed their yard. Nobody did any repair work. Nobody painted anything. They just let it all go down until it was in shambles, you know, because, hey, what does it matter? And I just want you to understand that, you see, a lot of times when people lose hope, that's the way they get about their life. What does it matter? It matters because God wants to give you a hope and a future. And that's the beginning place for seeing God's plan come to pass in your life. You got to know that God has something good for you. In Jeremiah 29:11, before I read it, I just want to say this, that every young person ought to memorize this verse. But the truth is all of us need to know this. He says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. See, this is God's plan for his people, not to harm them, but for good, to give them a hope and a future. I want to tell you when the Lord spoke this word to his people. In Jeremiah 29:11, his people have been taken into captivity. They're in captivity. I mean, they're servants and slaves in another land, in captivity, when God gives them this word. And why are they there? Because time and time again, the Lord spoke to them and warned them and told them to give up their idols, to leave their sin, but they wouldn't do it. He spoke to them through so many prophets again and again and again. He told them that this would happen. And so they find themselves in captivity in this terrible place. But even then, God says, I'm going to give you a hope and a future. And I want to say to you this morning that all of us have sinned. All of us have blown it. And some of us, we know that we're in a bad situation because of our own mistakes and failures. But here's the thing. The God of hope, he still wants to give you a hope and a future. That doesn't have to be the end. And I want to encourage you this morning that wherever you find yourself in this in life right now, and however you got there, you need to know that God is big enough to give you that hope and a future. The Lord always has a plan of redemption and restoration. He has good things planned for you. So don't lose hope. You get your hopes up. You face battles? Yes, we all do. But don't allow those battles and even the disappointments to rob you of your hope. You know, people often say that experience is the best teacher. It so is not. That's one of the dumbest things I hear people say. Two 80-year-olds. This one has learned to serve God and live for God and hope in God, and the other one, not. They both have 80 years of experience. And there's a lot of people that learn horrible things from experience. They learn the wrong things from experience. The Holy Spirit is the best teacher. And the Holy Spirit can help you learn through experiences. But without the Holy Spirit, I just tell you, a lot of people just get, well, they just learn to be old and bitter and cranky. And they got lots of experience at it. But here's one of the worst things that people learn from experience. Don't get your hopes up. Because, you know, I hoped this, I hoped that. Didn't work out, never does. And they learn to never get their hopes up. I know there's disappointments in this life, but I also know that God always comes through, and we should always hope in God. As long as we have that hope, I tell you, God will move and work on our behalf. And as long as you can draw breath, you have hope. Listen. Anyone who is among the living, it's Ecclesiastes 9:4 in the NIV, anyone who is among the living has hope. So if you're breathing, I mean, if you can fog a mirror, there's still hope for you, and you need to hope in God. It's not too late for God to turn things around for you, but you got to refuse to focus on the past and look forward to the future. He said, I'll give you a hope and a future. So you keep going and see the plan of God come to pass in your life. I know sometimes we think It's too late. It's too far gone. I want to remind you of Abraham. In Romans 4, 18 through 20, it says, against all hope. In other words, when there was absolutely no way, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations. Just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he promised. Here's this guy, 100 years old. And I've heard people teach that, well, he was, you know, him and Sarah were young. They were just really, really good shape. Well, I know what the Bible says. It says his body was as good as dead. They try to lessen the power of God, the miracle that God did. It wasn't because they were in great shape. And Sarah's womb had always been dead. She'd never been able to have children. This was an absolute miracle that God did. But Abraham hoped against hope, no matter what it looked like. You see, and because of that hope, he believed the word that God spoke to him, and he saw it come to pass. But think about this. He got this word from God. He didn't see it the next day. He didn't see it the next year. No, it was 25 years later from the first time that God spoke to him about his descendants. And year after year after year, Abraham didn't give up. Don't give up. Don't let go of your hope. When people let go of their hope, they give up. Right. And if you have, let God restore your hope this morning. In the NIV, in 1 Thessalonians 1, 3, it speaks of your endurance inspired by hope. See, hope will keep you going. It'll keep you going until you finally graduate. Hope will keep you praying. People quit praying. Why? Because they just lost hope. Hope will keep you working. It'll keep you going to those chemo treatments. You got a hope of getting through it and getting on. Keep trying. Keep going. It's hope. Long as we have hope, we'll keep going. Without it, we give up. There was a boy who was a badly burned, elementary school age boy, and he was in really bad shape. And a teacher from his school went to work with him on his English and help him not get too far behind. And the next day, one of the nurses called the teacher and they said, "What did you do to that boy?" And she thought, oh no. She thought she must have done something wrong. And they said, oh no, since he saw you, now he's getting better. Now he's trying again. He had lost the will to live, but now he's done a complete turnaround since you came. A couple of weeks later, the boy told them what had changed, why it had changed, why he decided he could live. He just reasoned to himself, well, they wouldn't send a teacher to work on pronouns and adverbs with a boy that's going to die. He had hope again. He believed somehow that he was going to live, and it turned him around. And I will tell you, if you'll get hope again, it will turn you around. But it'll give you that strength to endure, to keep going. Let God restore your hope. Psalm 42, 5 and 6, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Here's the psalmist preaching to himself. He's saying, soul, why are you so down? Hope in God. You need to tell yourself that this morning. I mean, you may be down and depressed. Choose to hope in God, and he'll come through for you. And if you're struggling, you know, to hope, keep your hope up. Amen. Get your hopes up. But if you're struggling to get your hopes up, go to the Scriptures, because the Scriptures will bring hope to your soul. Three times in Psalms 119, it says, I hope in your word. You see, the word of God can restore hope and faith to you. In Lamentations 3:19 through 25, here's an example of how the Scripture can restore hope to you. I remember my affliction and my wandering and bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. See, a lot of us, we can remember some of the disappointments and the failures, the mistakes of the past. You may be down this morning. Well, this message was for you. Verse 21, he says, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Now, a lot of you, you've heard, and some of you may know by heart, verse 22 and 23, about God's faithfulness and his mercy. It's new every morning. But you know what? We need to know verse 21. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore have hope. You see, it's because we are aware of God's great mercy, that he is always there for us. He's there to help us, and he loves us. It's because we call this to mind, we have hope. In verse 24, he says, I say to myself, he's talking to himself, I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. That's what you do a lot of the time when you have hope. You wait. You're expecting. It's like when you got family coming in from out of town. You're just waiting, expecting them to be there. And we wait. We wait for God to show up. I'll say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. So you keep your hope in God. You keep seeking God. You keep waiting on the Lord, and he will be faithful to you. He's good to those whose hope is in him. I want to go back to Romans 15:13. And I want to encourage you, let God restore your hope today. May the God of hope, the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is able to cause you to overflow with hope. And what comes with it? Joy. Peace. Oh, how we need this. Hope restored brings restored vision. It brings restored faith, restored peace and joy. It'll restore your endurance. It'll restore your zeal. Get you going again. How we need that. And it'll overflow. What happens when something overflows? It gets on other people. And I want to tell you, this world we live in, there's not a whole lot of real hope. They hope in all kinds of foolish things, and they put their hope in people all the time. And they learn not to hope. Don't get your hopes up. But they need to see in us something that's real. And that joy, that peace that we have because of the hope of God overflowing in our life. I want to tell you, that draws people. People need some of that. I mean, some of them, it's going to irritate them, right? And draw them at the same time. Just saying. But we need this hope in our life overflowing. Stand with me. We're going to pray. I want our prayer partners to come.